And I say it like this: I fell off a watermelon truck, but not yesterday. We see things happening. We see drug deals. We see things happening. We even have people come up to us and with amazing stories, unbelievable stories, asking us for money. Stories that, to the untrained heart and ear, would cause you to melt, would cause you to reach into your pocket and give them whatever they're asking for. And if you didn't have it in your pocket, you would go to an ATM machine and get some money out of a machine. Unbelievable stories of addiction. Unbelievable. It's amazing. And yet today, we hear that some of these things are called a disease. And I say it like this: I haven't seen too many people walking out of a liquor store with a bottle of Ebola. I haven't seen too many people running to the kid on the street corner trying to buy the yellow fever. I haven't seen it. But yet I have seen kids run into cars of the man that I call. I have seen them going to the cars, and as they go to the car, these guys pull up and the window comes down. And amazing things happen. I have seen that. If these things are a disease, I'm pretty puzzled. I'm pretty puzzled. And yet here, God in His amazing way takes a word that we say is not good. He takes a word, and as we look at it, we say there's nothing good that can come from someone that is addicted. How many millions of dollars are spent to try to get someone into rehab? How many millions of dollars, how many millions of hours collectively? And yet God here, in His amazing way, as I just said, He says, look at this man, Stephanas. And not only him, but in his household, they were addicted to the ministry. Now, we know a person that's addicted to drugs, we know that they're going to go to whatever length they have to go through to get that drug. It's amazing, and I'm going to stop talking about it. But it's amazing because we know what happens and what people will do, what people will sell to get that thing to satisfy that addiction. And yet God says, here is a man and his household that are addicted to the ministry. A word that all of us, most of us, I should say, can wrap our heads around. For you little kids that don't understand, it's surrender. But a word that we can wrap our heads around and say, yeah, I understand that. If they were addicted, that means they were really, really involved in it. When work needed to be done, his family was there. When it was time to go soul winning, they were there. When it was time to go on the bus route, they were there. When it was time to go to the old folks' home, they were there. When it was time to put money into the offering plate, they were there. When it was time to go to work party, they were there. When it was time to go to prayer meeting, they were there. You say, why? Because they were addicted to it. They had to have that ministry. They would not be satisfied until they were doing what they had to do. They would not be satisfied. And we're in a church today that has so many jobs. There are so many ministries. All of us in our households, we ought to be addicted to this ministry. There are some things that we ought to be addicted to. We ought to be addicted to our local church, the ministries. I thank God for our bus route. I thank God for it. I tell our bus workers, on Sunday morning, our ride to church. The ride to church is not about us. The most important thing about the ride to church is to get those kids ready for the service. It's to get them ready for up here. It's to get them ready for you teachers down in the rooms. And as we bring them in, we need to get those kids ready for the message that they're going to hear from God. And we pray that as, and even me as a teacher, we pray that as they come in and as they sit under your feet, that there's some people that are so addicted to their ministry that on Saturday night, on Friday night, they're just getting ready for it. Those kids that are doing the Bible verses, they're just getting ready for it. They're not flying by the seat of their pants. You say, why? Because they know that when they get up in front of those kids on Sunday morning, they know that God has something for them. When they have a Bible verse, oh, buddy, let me tell you something. Now, when I was in school and I had to do Bible verses, we had to do ours by hand. I mean, we had to write them out by... Okay, anyway, you know. I walked to school in the snow, too. I did. But they do it right. You know, our ministry affects a lot of people. Let me tell you about a little girl. Her name was Nicole Bryson. Nicole Bryson was riding a bus with Amanzas and I when I was in Michigan City. Nicole lived next to a guy that the families just hated each other. They hated each other. And one day, Nicole's family was having a picnic. And this guy that lived next door, he was so mad at him for having a picnic that he got in his car and he drove around the block. And he drove back in front of his house and theirs, and he let down his window, and he pulled out a .357, and he pointed into the crowd, and he started shooting into that crowd, and shot Nicole in the head, killed her. A girl that came to Sunday school. A girl that's in heaven today. Some remember my two cousins, Ray and Philip Wright. In Michigan City, they were fishing. It was on a Thursday night. They were fishing. They were 12 and 13 years old. They came to church here every Sunday on the bus. Well, not every Sunday, but almost every Sunday on the bus. One afternoon when they were fishing, Ray's fishing pole fell in the water. Ray jumped into the water to get his fishing pole. He didn't know how to swim. And he started drowning. Philip jumped in after him. And that afternoon, both of those boys drowned. I don't know what teacher led them to the Lord, but they're in heaven today. Thank God for some people that were addicted to the ministry. Some people that got up every Sunday and went out to those buses and got on those buses. And I got some more names here, and I'll stop there. Let me tell you one more. A kid named Walter Garrett. Some will remember him. He was 12 years old. Walter came to this church every Sunday. Walter knew he was saved. His house caught on fire in Michigan City. Mom got everybody out of the house. Some probably remember this. Mom got everybody out of the house. Pat shaking her head. She got everybody out of the house. Walter turned around for some reason. Walter ran back upstairs into that house. And they said that as he was coming back outside, there was something at the bottom of the steps, and it caught fire. Walter turned around, went back upstairs, and a few minutes later, the firemen were carrying his body out of the house. They found him underneath his bed. He died that day, but he went home. He went home. Thank God for people that are addicted to the ministry. There is a lot of work that needs to be done. Not too much is said about this man, Stephanus. It doesn't appear that he held any kind of position in the church. Nothing else is said about him. But this, he was addicted in his household to the ministry. He was addicted to the ministry. There's a lot of work that's coming up. And Pastor Dan was just talking about our fall push. It's coming up. What's it for? It's for us to bring people in and deal with them about this matter of salvation. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. Somebody asks you, can you help me? It ought not be, man, I can't do it. I asked a little young lady not that long ago if she could help me, and she said, No, I just can't help you. I just need you to bring someone to church. No, I can't help you. I feel sorry for someone like that. Thank God for an Ed Wymer. Who has a little bus kid. Came alongside of me. Okay, I'll stop there. Thank God for people that addict themselves to the ministry. Number two. We need to be addicted to others. John 13:35 says this, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you love one another. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse number 20. The Bible says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Turn over to chapter 3 and verse number 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. What does God want us to do? God wants us to love each other. Now, I know there's not too many college kids in here, but I lived in a dorm. Sometimes, that dorm life, it's hard. It's hard. It's hard to love a guy that stares at you when you wake up in the morning. That's hard. It's hard to love a guy that, as you see running down the hallway, has all your stuff on. It's hard to love someone that when you go into your closet and you get your wallet, Kimmy, I love you. But God wants us to love one another with a handshake. There's nothing wrong with coming alongside some bus kids and giving them a hand. For some, it's easy to reach in your wallet and just give money. But how many are willing to have him over to your house? Thank God for a lady named Mrs. Blood. She's in heaven now. Mrs. Blood is a lady, I don't know why she loved our family. Not too many people know Mrs. Blood. But Mrs. Blood would have a bunch of us kids over. And there was a guy that went to Pines Bible Church. His name was Uncle George, we called him. She would have us over. And she would have a picnic for us. And she would call Uncle George over. Jennifer remembers him. She would call Uncle George over. And Uncle George would come over, and she would have us all sitting in the living room, and she would have Uncle George preach at us. I got saved a few times there. She would have Uncle George preach at us. I don't know why she loved us. I don't know why she didn't just do what she did, what she did. But she got addicted to us. And she came alongside of us. And she helped pick us up. She's the one that is responsible for sending the bus captain to our house to come here to Fairhaven. Mrs. Blood. Before she died, her husband got saved. He wasn't even saved. He didn't even want us there. He wanted nothing to do with the gospel. But thank God for someone that loved others. Some have a problem with these bus kids running around here. We have a problem with these bus kids running around here. All of these bus kids. You know what they're going to do? They're going to tear things up. I had one that couldn't walk in the aisle Sunday. He had to climb over the seats. I'm like, get off the seats. Get off the seats.
Okay.
No, not just okay. Got some that want to come fishing. They want to go fishing. You got some in the learning center. Cost too much money for this. I'm so glad to hear. And I'm not just talking, but amen, our money can go to the learning center. Give some of these knucklehead kids a chance. Like somebody gave me a chance. And we ought not gripe about it. If you got time to complain, you may have time to get involved with something. If you have time to complain, maybe you have time to come and vacuum a hallway. There may be some graffiti on one of the walls. Why don't you come and help wipe the walls down? Come and help cut some grass. Get addicted. Some are having problems with their thinking. I can help you. You want some help with your thinking? What can I do? What can I do? You need some hot dogs? You need some hot dog buns? How much ketchup do you need? Do you need me to pick somebody up for anniversary Sunday? I'll pick them up and I'll bring them to church. Get addicted! We have to be addicted to others. One man said, I set myself on fire and people came to watch me burn. N.R. Judson, missionary to Burma. And he said, no work could be established. But yet he left over, when he died, there was over 100 churches and scores of believers because he was addicted. Last of all, we need to be addicted to Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Verse number 14. The Bible says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge," in verse number 14, "that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Christ must dominate our life. He says, it constrains us. The love of God, the love of Christ constraineth us. It keeps us in bounds. It keeps us. I love Christ. And because I love him, it keeps me doing what I'm supposed to do. It keeps me getting up in the morning on Sundays and Saturdays and Sundays. It keeps me going visiting. It keeps me doing it. You say, why? Because it constraineth me. It just grabs me. It grabs us. Not only does it constrain us, but it compels us. It compels us to live for others. It compels us. And then it changes us. He said, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? He is a new creature. He's a new creature. You know, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. I used to say some bad things. The things I used to listen to, I don't listen to them anymore. You say, why? Because I'm a new creature. Thank God he made me a new creature. I see some kids sometimes, I see them having a pull to the world. I see them trying to go back to Egypt. And I scratch my head. Didn't God make you a new creature? Why are you trying to live like the world? It changes us. It captures us. You know who we belong to? We belong to Jesus. Amen. We get to be addicted to Jesus. What got into the household of Stephanas? He got addicted to the church. He got addicted to others. And he got addicted to Christ. They may not have been recognized from the pulpit, his family, but they were recognized by the Holy Spirit. And that is what's going to count when Christians are rewarded for their stewardship. That's what's going to count. Not that somebody says your name from up here, but somebody up there sees you being busy about the work of Christ. And one day when you stand before him, we're all going to be rewarded for our stewardship. There's nothing wrong. I know there's some in here, if it even went in one ear, it went right out the other. Because you're just afraid. You're just afraid to get addicted to the ministry. You're just afraid. But let me tell you something. It's worth it. It's worth it. And I say it like this. We don't know the influence that this church has had over the years in our communities. But I know this. Our communities would be a lot worse. I'm not bragging. God knows I'm not bragging. But I believe our communities would be a lot worse without the influence of this church. I believe that. God wants us to be addicted to this ministry. There's good things. There's good things ahead. We need to jump in and be a part of it and get addicted. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for this simple thought. Father, I pray that you would help make sense of it. Father, I pray that we would be determined, God, as we see our fall push, and God, as we were told about the packets and tracks, God, I pray that we would be mindful, Father, that, God, it's all about you and seeing people saved. And I pray that we would be addicted to it. And we would want to do everything we can, God, to see your work go forward and see people saved. God, it takes being right. I know that. But Father, I pray that we would do everything we can